The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This evening is just a few days before Shavuos, which is the Chag Matnei Rishenu, the Yom Tov of the giving of our Torah. We've had many, many people throughout the generations from our nation who came to very, very great levels in Torah. One in particular was Rebbe Kiva. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Menachos Daf Chof Tes, it's a very well known Gemara, Amar B'Yur Amarav, B'Shor She'ole Meisha L'Morim, when Meisha went up to the heavens to receive the Torah, Mitzol La'Kodesh Baruch Hu She'yeshi V'keshik Sorib La'Esiyos, he found that the Almighty was sitting and he was tying on crowns to the letters of the Torah. If you look in the Sefer Torah, you will find that there are crowns. They are called either Ksorim or Tagim, Rashi brings, on many of the letters. Meisha asked, what are these and who are they for? He didn't understand what they were. Omalei Adem Echad Yesha Osid Liyais Besef Kamadeiris. The Almighty answered that there will rise up an individual after many generations, Akiva ben Yosef Shemai. His name will be Akiva, the son of Yosef. She'osid lidresh al kol kutz v'kutz, tilin v'tilin, shel halochas. And he will take these crowns and he will darshan, he will expound from every stroke of these crowns multitudes of halochas, multitudes of Torah laws. Omer Levonav, Ribeinu Shalela Mahareli. So Moshe said to the Almighty, show me this person. Omerai Chazolach Orecho, Holach Yoshe Besev Shmeina Shuresh. Moshe was sent into the future, and he came into a yeshiva, a Beis HaMedrash, and he went and he sat near the back of the Beis HaMedrash. Below Hayedeh Mahin Aimrim, and he heard the shir from this individual, and he couldn't understand what they were saying. Toshas Keche, and Meisha, this was a letdown to Meisha, because here he is the giver of the Torah, and he cannot understand the shir that they're going to say many, many generations later. Kiven Shiagia Lavdova Echor Omraleta Midov Rebbe Menainloch. Every time the Talmidim, the disciples, asked Rebbe Kiva a question, he would answer them. One point they came where he asked, and Rebbe Kiva couldn't answer. He merely said, Halocha L'meisha Misinai. He said, don't ask further. This is how we received this halocha, this law from Meisha, from Sinai. Nishash V'daitei. So Meisha felt better. Now Meisha went back to Hashem and he said, Master of the Universe, he says, here you have a man like this and you're giving the Torah through me, why don't you give it through him? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, be silent. This is how I have decreed. We see that of those who came to gigantic heights in Torah, Rabbi Kiva still excelled. He came to a particular height that even the giver of Torah, Meisha Rabbeinu, could not understand. Another example the Gemara brings in the first parak of Bava Basra, Daf Yud Beis, Seif Amar Aleph, that Chochem Odef Minovi, a wise person, someone who's wise in Torah, he's better than a prophet. Because a prophet can only say what he hears directly from the Almighty. But on his own, he's not capable of saying anything. V'ilu chocham, eime milsa mishfore de nafshe, umish amro mishmei de gavarabe de kavose. Many times, though, we see a chocham, a sage, will say something through his own mind. He will decree through his own mind that this is what the halacha should be, or this is what the reason for this is. And later on, he'll find out that an even greater sage has said the same halacha, and the greater sage said it over in the name of the Mercedes of the tradition which was handed down to him generation after generation from Moshe. So we see that many times a chocham, a wise person in Torah, can come to a level of prophecy even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not directly give him this prophecy. So the Gemara asks, Dilmut Ravaya ben Echad Basalanihu, what's the proof from that? Maybe it happens that the one that he emulated in this reasoning happens to be from the same mazel. They were born under the same mazel. There is some spiritual bond between them, and this is why he was able to say exactly what this other great person said. But it's not because of where he can comprehend a prophecy even though it wasn't given to him. This is what the Gemara asks. Ela Omar. So the Gemara says, we see sometimes a sage can say something, a great person can say something, and it will be exactly what Akiva ben Yosef said, Rabbi Akiva said, once said. And Rashi says, you cannot say that someone is of the same mazel as Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was far a greater person. But Rabbi Gershom writes further. He says, the kimlon de lahoyo me elom gavro kavose, the less to who le mazlo v'teira v'esha. And we know that there never was and there never will be another individual who is of the same mazlo as Rebbe Kiva. Because where Rebbe Kiva came from, or Rebbe Kiva's spiritual level is, that no one can share. And therefore, how is it possible that one Talmud Chochem can say something and it comes out the same that Rebbe Kiva said? It must be because through wisdom you can come to prophecy. So here again we see what Rebbe Kiva was. That's from one aspect. But now there's an enigma. There's a second aspect. Just as he was unique in history to the level that he would attain in Torah, so he was unique in history to the low levels which he started from. For example, Akiva, Rebbe Akiva was the son of Yosef. Yosef, the sages tell us, Ger Tzedekoyo. He wasn't born a Jew. He was born a non-Jew and he converted. Another example, the Gemara tells us, Ben Arboim Shono Le Korav Le Shono. Exactly, Ovis Derb Noson. For 40 years, Rebbe Akiva never learned. He was ignorant. Not only he was ignorant, he was totally ignorant. Le korav le shono, he never learned chumash.
He never learned Mishnah. And from the Oves Reb Noshon, it seems that he never even learned Aleph Beis till he was 40 years old. Is the well-known story of Rochel, where she foresaw greatness in him and inspired him to go and study Torah, and she married him. And even further, Mara tells us in Masechet Pesachim at the end of Perek Ela Ovrin and of Mem Tes Amud Beis, Rabbi Kiva said on himself, Tan Yom Rabbi Kiva, he told his Talmidim, his disciples, Kishoyisi Amoritz, when I was an ignoramus. Now, not only was he an ignoramus, but he hated the sages. Omati miyitein li Talmud Chochom, I used to say, give me a sage and I will bite him like a donkey. Omro le Talmidov, his disciple said to him, Rebbe, Emoki Kelev, why do you say you would have bitten him like a donkey? Why don't you say you would have bitten him like a dog? Omer lehen, he answered, Zeneshech v'shever etzim, Zeneshech v'ena shever etzim. Because a dog merely bites but does not break bones. A donkey bites and breaks bones. And this is how I felt towards the Talmidei Chachomim, towards the sages. Tosfos brings in Ksubos that the Gemara says that even though before he studied Torah, he was a very high level individual. He had very, very good qualities. He was a very decent, hard working person. Midas Tovos, he was Tzonua, the Gemara says. A Tzonua, he was humble and modest and a private individual. But nevertheless, he used to have a great hatred against the Talmidei Chachomim, Tosfos explains, because he felt that they would look down upon the ignorant. So here, from one aspect, we see someone coming from extremely, extremely humble beginnings. 40 years, 40 years is a very, very mature adult already. And from another aspect, not only did he reach good heights in Torah, not only did he become a Talmud Chochom, but he reached levels that even Moshe Rabbeinu did not reach, and where we can say that no other man reached these particular levels. This was Rebbe Akiva. And let us see this evening if we can learn some things from him when it comes to Kinyan Torah, the acquiring, the acquisition of Torah. Now, our Shas, our Talmud, is full of the teachings of Rebbe Akiva. Let's concentrate this evening on three of them. Generally, people will speak of how small the person is. What is a person's life? Kitzel over, we say. It's like a fleeting shadow. It's like a dream. Ke'efa pereach, like a bird that flies over. You see it 1 minute, and then next minute it disappears. And where does a man come from? Mitipas rucha. He comes from a drop of a seed. And he comes from the offer, from the dust of the earth. And seife lo shuv le'ofor, and his eventuality is he will return to the dust of the earth. He's an ishbar. He's a person without great understanding. Ve'ein le'lev lo'hovin, does not have a heart to comprehend great things. And we say even Ein Sadik Ba'aretz Asher Yaseh Teva Le'echto, even the righteous also sin, and he has to deal with the Yetzohara. The Gemara says the Yetzohara, this is the Sotan, this is the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death. And the man, we know, is full of machlekes, quarrels, deceit, loshon hara, kina, jealousy, hatred, quests for honor, physical desires, eating, drinking, for women, and so forth and so on. And certainly compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, we say that he is like a worm. Now, even though in everything what we just mentioned there is truth, but firstly, all of this is when we will measure man compared to the Almighty, or when we will look at man from the perspective of the shortcomings because of the element of the earth that he was created from. But when we look at man from the perspective of the soul that he has, or from the perspective that he is a synthesis of heaven and earth, then, to the contrary, to have such an attitude towards man is not only false, but it's from the greatest sins. And this is a kfira gemura in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a denial in the Almighty for a person to think this way. Because this is a total antithesis of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Would anyone deny the greatness of the works of Hashem when he created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything that is on in the sea or on the earth or in the heavens? A person would have to be a fool. The Gemara says that you can gather all of the wise men of the earth of time together, best minds, and yitush, one fly they won't be able to create. One fly. We can take the most brilliant minds of history, bring them all together in one laboratory, and let us see them create one fly, the simplest creation of the Almighty. So who can downgrade what the Almighty created? This is what we say. David HaMelech said, Ma godlu ma'asech Hashem, how great are your deeds. Me'ed omku machshveisecho, how deep are your thoughts. Ein heike l'nifleisecho, there is no end, there is no comprehension to what you have created. Now that is the case with the Shemaim, Ba'oretz, and Hayom, the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the creatures. Then how can we have such an attitude towards man when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that this is the greatest of his creations? This creation encompasses everything else, and all of creation was only for the sake of man. And even if we would try to comprehend man merely from a physical perspective, we would not be able to. You take medicine. Medicine is one of the oldest sciences. From the time man was created, people studied his anatomy. They studied his biology. There were doctors. And who has always been attracted to the field of medicine? Perhaps the best minds of history. So here you have, in the last 5,000 years, the best minds of history studied the biology, the anatomy, the medicine of man for 5,000 years throughout the world. And yet every day, hardly a day goes by, that they do not uncover a new mystery, something that they did not know of the day before. I'll tell you, when it comes to the brain, we have hardly scratched the surface. This is physical man, yet alone spiritual man, man with his soul. And to the contrary, when a person has this attitude, that what is man, what is his worth, this brings people to Shvichas Domin, to murder. This brings them to a world that we live in today. Because if man is worthless, so what's wrong with destroying him? This brings him to murder, this brings him to war, this brings him to suicide, this brings him to where you have to tell us reasons why abortion should be forbidden. What is it? Mentioned the other day, it was published, and now that it's 50 years since the Holocaust, since the Second World War, the end of the Second World War. So they're publishing all types of facts and figures. It's been published that 55 million people died during the Second World War. Another 60 million people were killed by Stalin. And an estimated 50 million people have died in other wars since the Second World War. I mean, the world kills. According to the Torah, you kill one person, that's destroying a world. The world kills millions like they're nothing. And this comes from that attitude. And this is what one of the great principles that Rebbe Akiva teaches us in Masechta Omos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Aleph, Hu Haya Eimer. Rebbe Akiva said, Choviv Odom, how special is man, how endeared is man to Hashem, Shenivra B'Tzelem, that he is created, he's not a simple creation, and is not only a miraculous creation. Animal is a miraculous creation. Even a fly is, as we saw. But that he's created with Selim in the Almighty's image. Chibi Yeseira Nedaslo. Kodesh Baruch Hu showed him a special endearment, Shenivro B'Tzelem, that he created him in his own image. Shenema ki betzelem elakim also esa odom. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I will make man in my own image. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not make the heavens or the earth or the sea or the animals or the birds or the fish in his own image. They are miracles, but not in his own image. Only man did he create in his own image. This means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Selim, his image, which is unique, he shared with someone else, and that was with man. And that's a Chiba Yisera that shows how dear man was to the Almighty. This is one of the great principles that Rebbe Akiva teaches to the world. Now, Tzelem Elohim is written in the Torah not in the same context where it states that he created man ofer min adoma, from the dust of the earth, vayikach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he gave him, blew into his nostrils a soul. It's not written there. So this means besides physical man and besides spiritual man, he gave him an additional dimension. And that is, he shared with him his own image. What does it mean, his own image? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a physical image in a physical form. There are many there are many perspectives in which to understand this, but we will mention two, which are mentioned by the Maral Miprag on this Mishnah. The Almighty is without any image because he's non-physical. Man, he created physically, therefore he has a physical form and image. The Almighty, though, even though he lacks a physical form, nevertheless he has qualities, non-physical qualities. The book says, "Kodesh Baruch Hu Malchu Chanun V'Rachu Tov Erech Apayim." He has the quality of goodness, he has the quality of compassion, he has the quality of long-suffering, and so on. So qualities he has, but physical form he does not. These qualities make up the Almighty's image, but in a spiritual world. When he created physical man, he transplanted his own qualities into physical man, into a physical form. And for example, all creations he created that they would not be able to stand upright. They all walk on all fours. It's interesting to note that the monkey, the ape, that family tries to stand on 2 feet, but must fall and walk on all four. And that's the highest level of the animal kingdom. Why was it that when all creation was not given the capability of standing upright, and man was created upright? Because one of the great Milas qualities of the Almighty is Malchus. He is the master of the universe. He's a king. If you'd ask a child, draw a picture of a king with his servants, he would draw someone standing upright, straight, and the servants bowing down. Kodesh Baruch Hu transplanted that quality into physical man. He created him in such a physical form, and therefore he created him that he should stand upright. And he did not give this to anyone else, because he wanted man to be the master of the Olam HaTachton, of the earthly world. This is what it means, in my own image I shared with physical man. Another example, man stands straight. Straight represents yosher, what is spiritually straight. Deceit and lies, that's crookedness. Emes is straight. Kodesh Baruch Hu has the quality of perfect emes, perfect truth. He wanted to give, he wanted to create man physically with this quality. So he created him where he's straight. It's interesting to note that these two qualities that we are just giving examples of, they are the total opposite of the serpent, of the Nochash. When man was still in Gan Eden, it was a different type of world, it states the serpent also was upright and straight. But because he rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his legs away from him, and he crawls on his belly. So he is the lowest of all animals. It states he was a king. And he was thrown off his throne to the bottom. And the snake never goes straight. His body always withers into crookedness. Because it was the snake that came with the quality of deceit and lies to ruin the world. And this was the form that he took. Another example states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything that goes on. He sees good and he sees evil. Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mereishis Hashana Ad Achris Hashana. And the Torah tells us that the eyes of Hashem are on Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So it says he has eyes. The eyes of Hashem. He doesn't have physical eyes, but the power, a spiritual power of sight. And it states, the Gemara says, eyes, Loshen Rabim. Two. Because he looks for what's good and he looks for what's evil. He wanted to give also a quality for man to be able to see. To be able to see what's good in order to pursue it, and be able to see what's evil in order to remove himself from it and distance himself from it. So his image he gave to physical man, and he created him with physical eyes and two eyes. And so we can go on and on. For example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the epitome of gvura, of strength. Ask a child, draw me a picture of strength. How do we draw strength? You'll draw a strong arm, a yad chazoka. Created man in a structure of physical strength. And this is why the prophets, when they described the Almighty, they described him in physical phrases. It wasn't merely a description, but these are the actual qualities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in a non-physical world, they didn't take on a physical form. But the same qualities coming down into a physical world took on that form that they described him with. And therefore, it's a toss. It's an error for one to think that man has a soul, which is spiritual, but the body is purely physical. The biology and anatomy of the body is built purely from the aspect of physical phenomena. Not true. The blueprint of man, of man's physical body, were also the spiritual motivation also the spiritual momentum. And that's why the Gemara can tell us in the end of Masechta Makis. It states, Ramach Evorim and Shesa Gidim, 248 different limbs to the person, different organs to the person, and 365 tendons and muscles to the body. And each one correlates to the 248 positive commandments of the Torah and the 365 negative commandments. And this is what Iyu said in Parsha Yutes, Umibisori Echeze Aleikai. Through my flesh I can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If one studies physical man, he can come from there to understand what the Almighty is, the form of the Almighty. Because his spiritual qualities he fashioned into physical man. So this is one dimension in Selam Elokim. Now there's another dimension also that we'll make mention of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tzalmeinu v'kidmuseinu, let us make man in our image. He was referring to his own, in my image. I want to share my image with man, no one else. He was saying, I want to share my essence with man. How can he do that? We have to understand firstly what is the essence of Hashem. I want to share my essence, my very being, with man. This is how much he loved man. But what is my essence? What is the essence of the Almighty? We call the Almighty HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the sacred one. Kedusha means something which is entirely removed. And that's our only description of Hashem. He's totally removed from us. He's totally non-physical. He's removed from us because we are living in a physical world. Something which is non-physical takes on the identification as or, light. Even in the physical realm, the less physical something becomes, the stronger is its light. For example, you go deep down into the earth, where everything is very, very physical. It's heavy and thick. You have matter. It's total darkness. Go into a mine, a cave. The further you come away from the earth, from matter, the lighter it becomes. You go up high into the heavens, and you see even a greater light. That's in the physical world. So certainly in the spiritual world. The higher the level, the greater the light. Because light is identification or for something which is removed from all physical matter. This is why it states, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. Mitzvahs are called the light of a candle. Torah is referred to the great spiritual light. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the only description we can have for him is Kula Or. He's light. This light he shared with his creation. A bit of this light he gave to all of his creations. But a great portion of this light he gave to man. A particularly great portion he gave to Yisrael. And this is his Selam, his image, his form. And the great measure of this light he gave to man's face. Why to man's face? Because that's the specific form of man. From there, one man is distinguished from another. If you're walking behind a person, you're not sure who he is. Turns around, you see his face. Well, now I can identify him. The particular tzura, the particular form of man is on his face. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared his light with him. And that's why we find that a person's face shines. We also find that the shine on a person's face changes, constantly changes. Sometimes it's bright, sometimes it's medium bright, sometimes it's pale. It's actually changing in accordance to the dimension of the Tzelem Elokim, of the Or of Hashem that's on his face, the sages tell us. For example, it states, Chochmas Odom Teir Ponav. A person has a great wisdom of Torah, shines from his face. It states, On Shabbos, a person has a greater shine on his face. Because a Shabbos brings in additional or additional light from Hashem. When you honor a person, ponim tzuhuvais, his face glows, because you strengthen the tzelem elokim, the image of Hashem. To the contrary, hamalbi nespenei chaverei, you embarrass someone. It's a great embarrassment, a public embarrassment. His face pales. The Gemara tells us, "Areze kishpichas domim." You have extinguished momentarily that selim, that or, and that's like shpichas domim. That's like killing the person. The Gemara tells us. That's a Gemara in Bamitzia Nunches. The Gemara tells us in Brachas Davova Mabeis Kiven Shenitzrach Odom Lebriyos Ponav Mishtanim. That once a person has to come on to other people, he has to come and borrow from people, his face pales because he's fallen. Man was supposed to share the dominion of the Almighty. And now he has to come on to other people, he's fallen. His face pales. And we see that when a person dies, immediately the light leaves. The Tzelem returns to Hashem. This is why the Gemara tells us in Bamitzia Daf Pei Daled Omer Aleph, Shufra de Yaakov me'ein Shufra de Adam Arishon. The sign of Yaakov Avinu was similar, comparable to the shine of Adam Arishon. What does it mean? The one who had the greatest selim was Adam Arishon, the first man. Because this is where it states, let us make man Bitzalmenu, in our tzelem, in our form. This was Adam Arishon. He had the greatest measure. There was no man that came closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and more perfect than Yaakov Ishtam. And the Gemara tells us, Tzurase Choku Kalkise Akovet. His image, his yurat, in the throne of the Almighty. Therefore, Shufra de Yaakov me'ein Shufra de Adam Arishon. The shine of his face was comparable to that, similar to that of Adam Arishon, of the first man. The Gemara tells us in the Medrash and also in Baba Basra, Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, Or HaKovav Shel Odom Mekahe Galgul Chama. by the first man, the light he had was so great that even the light that came from the heels of his feet would make the light of the sun look dim. Omar Abino, Mora brings a case where they found the grave of Odom Arishon. They asked him, "What did you see?" Nistakalti b'shnei akovim shel Odom Arishon b'daymin l'shnei galgalei chama. I gazed at the two heels of the first man, and they were like two great balls of sun. Now, we mentioned that the greatest light comes to the face of man. The opposite extremity are the feet, the heels. They are always in darkness. So the Gemara wants to show us how great this light was by Odom Arishon, by the first man. And this light gave the power of dominion to man. In Bereishis Aleph it states, Nasa Odom b'tzalmeinu u'b'chibuseinu b'yildu b'degas hayom u'b'eif hashomayim. Let us make man in our image and let him rule over everything in the world, from the fish of the sea to the birds of the heaven. Because this made him king of this world. That's why the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Og Melech HaBoshon Meis Tzorech L'Shemre Min HaAchborim. Og, the great and mighty king of Boshon, when he died, you have to guard him that the mice should not eat him. Tinek Ben Yema, a child is born and he's one day old. Ein Tzorech L'Shemre Min HaAchborim. You do not have to guard him from the rodents. How can this be? Here one is the great and mighty giant and the other is a child a few hours old. Because one has lost the Tzelem Elohim and the other has acquired it. From all of this we see just the opposite of the philosophy and attitude that we mentioned at the beginning of the Shiur. That what is man? What worth is his life? And from here we can see the enormity of the desecration of man's life. And that's why it states in Parshas Noach, Perek Tes, Posuk Vov, Shefech Damo Odom, the Odom Dome Yishofech. He who spills man's blood, his blood should be spilled. Ki betzelem elekim also as a Odom. Because I have made man in my image. But someone who destroys another man, he's not destroying a fly, he's not destroying an ant, he's not destroying an animal. He is destroying me, because I have given from my image to him, and therefore that murderer must be destroyed. From here we see the uniqueness of man and the greatness of man. From here we see Chiba Yisero, the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for man, that he was willing to share his own self with man. And from here we see how great the potential is for a man to become. Now this was one of the great principles that Rabbi Akiva understood. He understood this very well. This is what he taught. And that's why that even though he lived up a whole life of 40 years, very, very far from Torah, very, very far from the sages, but recognizing, and what means recognizing, knowing that a man has endless potential, he was able to dedicate the rest of his life to Torah and to climb level after level after level and to reach even levels where no one else reached. This is one great principle that we can learn from Rabbi Akiva. Second one. The Mishnah tells us in the end of Masechta Seita, Daf Mem Tes, Mishnah says something strange. Says, it's telling us that as the Doris, as the generations go by, the world falls. All the way until right before the days of the Mashiach, our times. So it's saying that as each great sage died, ended an entire era. So it writes, Mishameis Rabbi Akiva, Bottle Kfeit HaTorah. From the time Rabbi Akiva died, that was the end of Kfeit HaTorah, the honor to Torah. Then, a little later, the Mishnah says, Mishameis Rabbi Gamliel HaZokein, even though Rabbi Gamliel HaZokein was before Rabbi Akiva, when Rabbi Gamliel HaZokein died, also Bottle Kfeit HaTorah. Kfeit HaTorah ceased. So the Gemara comes and explains what was the Kfeit HaTorah, what was the honor of Torah that ceased by Rabbi Gamliel, because before him no one would learn sitting down. That was not due respect to the Torah. Everybody stood the whole day when they learned. But that was until the death of Rabbi Gamliel. But after the death of Rabbi Gamliel, you're the Hushala Elam. Strength, physical strength, was lost from the world. No longer were we able to stand hours and hours on an end. So we had to sit and learn. So the Kfeit HaTorah, the honor of Torah, fell. That was Rabbi Gamliel. But the Mishnah also tells us, Mishameis Rabbi Akiva Bottle Kfeit HaTorah. What was the Kfeit HaTorah that Rabbi Akiva brought into the world and departed from the world with his death? So Rashi says as follows. Shoyanaisen libai lidreis kol kutz v'kutz shil kol eis. Rabbi Akiva, this is a uniqueness that he brought into the world. Rabbi Akiva paid heed to expound every stroke of every crown on every letter of the Torah. Because came Tevis Yeseris V'Aisius Yeseris. And every time a word was written in the Torah with an extra letter, or it was written, some words you can write and you can add a particular letter or you can leave out that particular letter. If it was added, he wanted to know why. If it was left out, he wanted to know why. And not only did he want to know why, but he expounded halachos. He derived laws of the Torah from every word, where a letter could have been added and was left out, or a letter could have been left out and was added. Kigain basu basani derish. The Gemara asked Rabbi Akiva. Rashi brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Gemara asked Rabbi Akiva, why, on what basis do you form your opinion, your legal opinion? He said, because it doesn't say Bas, the daughter, it says Ubas, and the daughter. the Anideris. And there is not one letter, one stroke of the pen in the Torah that is written without reason. And since it says Bas Ubas Anideris, then I expound, I darshan it, and this is the basis for my legal argument, for my legal opinion. Vizehu covered great Torah Godel. And this is the greatest Kovara Torah. She'ein bo dovah levatola. That there is nothing in the Torah which is there for no reason, which is in vain. Many people think Kovara Torah means you kiss the Sefer Torah, which is Kovara Torah. You stand up for the Torah. But there is another dimension of Kovara Torah, even a greater dimension of Kovara Torah. When someone takes a piece of Gemara and he learns it and he says an interpretation in the Gemara, he says an interpretation in Rashi and Tosfos, he says an interpretation in Apostolic and Chumash, and it's hollow and it's shallow and it's dochuk, it's forced, and he wants to pass it off that that is what the Torah is saying. That's the greatest disgrace for Torah, the greatest disgrace for Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest disgrace for the Almighty. That you can do if you're reading the newspaper, which is going to get chucked in the rubbish the next day, or you're reading a magazine which will get chucked in the rubbish the next day, or you're reading a book written by some author that after a couple months or a year or two it'll be left in a museum as or lost in dust. But when you're writing something, you're reading something that is written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Moshe, by the sages, this is the respect you have for their words. This is the respect you show for their words. To contemplate that this is what they meant by that, which a child would be able to say, this is what they meant. The Maral writes, he says, Kol Chachmei HaUmos, all of the sages of the world, the wise of the world, Eina Kiklipas Hashum, Keneger Adover Kal Shemekalim, do not measure up to the thickness of a garlic peel when it comes to the lightest words that the Chachmei Yisrael, that the sages have stated. So this is how you come to Torah. I had the great sus to learn by a great person, Reb Gifter, and this was his attitude to Torah. He could give a long shear and go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Is what is Tosfos saying? What is Tosfos saying? And refute every probability. And finally he would say one shot, and at the end of the shear he would say, you should know though, this is a dochuk. This is not the pshat. At the moment we have nothing better. But don't think this is what Tosfos is saying. We have not been yated le'em keshel dover. We have not yet been able to understand what he is saying. Now we see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant with the crowns. Moshe Rabbeinu asked, what are you doing? What are you writing crowns for? She said, there'll be a man that will come to expound the crowns. Generally we think that he'll need something else to expound. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant something else also. Nesein Lev, there'll be a man who my Torah will be so dear to that every stroke of the pen will mean a world to him. Every letter in this Torah, he'll want to know why is it written or why is it not written. And not he'll merely give an answer, but he'll be derish tilim tilim shel alochos. From each stroke he will expound multitudes of alochos. And for this man, it's kedai. For this man, it pays to put these crowns on the Sefer Torah, because he will use them. Others won't use them. He will use them. Each stroke will be a gem to him. Each stroke will be a gate to a new world for him. This is the honor he will have for my Torah. And therefore the Mishnah states, Mishemes Rebbe Kiva, when Rebbe Kiva died, Botel Komenateva. That level of honor of Torah disappeared with Rebbe Kiva. Okay. But Rashi tells us, Shehoya Nesen Libai, that he would pay heed, Lidreish Kol Kutz V'Kutz, every stroke of every letter in the Torah. Now, he understood the individual. He understood what man was. And he understood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah was. And not only did he understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah was, but he also understood the greatness of his Torah and the greatness of the sages that acquired this Torah. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Psochim and Daf Chof Beis, and Daf Chof Beis on the Beis, Shimon Amsuni, Yamri lo Nechemio Amsuni, Hoyedeirish Kolesim Shibetora. Shimon Amsuni, some say it was Nechemio Amsuni, every time it said S, the word S, which is like a prefix in the Torah, he would expound this to come, it's coming to include something. When he came to the Posuk, Es Hashem Elekecho Tiro, that you shall fear Hashem Elekecho, he said, what can it come to expound? What can it come to include? You shall fear Hashem, your God, and something. What can it come and? Who can you share your fear to the Almighty with? Upapirish. And he retracted. He retracted from this principle to expound every S. And nobody could do anything. Achibar Bekiva. Until the time of Rebbe Kiva, v'doros es Hashem elekecho tiro lerabeis talmidei chachomim. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fear can be shared with someone else, with his talmidei chachomim, with his sages. This means the same fear that we are obligated to have to Hashem, we are obligated to have to the great sages. The Meirim Sochim underlines that. We're talking not of two fears, of one fear. And the same fear that we're obligated to have to heaven, you're obligated to have for the sages. Now, how can we share HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fear? Because Rebbe Kiva saw in his later life how great the Torah is and how great are those that acquire the Torah. And another case, the Gemara brings and Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis in Masechet Ervin, in his later life, he was very old, And he was captured by the Romans because he refused to stop teaching Torah Barabbim, to stop publicly teaching Torah. So the Romans took him and threw him into prison. He was a very old man. He could have been as old as 120. One day, and his Talmud, his disciples used to come and bring him food and water. One day, Rabbi Shua Garshi Mishorse Bechol Yevayim Hayemachnisin Leimayim Bemido, he would bring him water, a certain amount of water every day. And the shamer and the prison guard stopped him that day, and he says, "Why do you have so much water today?" He wanted just to cause trouble. "Why are you bringing so much water today? Do you want to dig a tunnel in order to take Rabbi Kiva out?" So he took the water and he spilled half of it out. This whole episode made him late, and when he came, Rabbi Kiva said, "Eina to yodei Yeshua, eina to yodei shezokinani. Don't you know that I am very old, and my life is dependent on you?" So Sochle Kolei Samura, he told him what happened. Then he said, Rabbi Kiva, "Tein li mayim, give me water, she'etel yodai, that I can wash my hands." Rabbi Kiva wanted to wash because he was going to eat. He was going to eat bread, so he wanted to wash. So Yeshua said, "Lishtais ein magin, little yodecho magin. There's hardly enough today for you to drink. So how can you use this water to wash your hands?" Omalei, he said, "My eser. What can I do? Shechayovi malein miso. This decree that one should wash hands before eating, this was by our sages. And if you do not listen to your sages, then you are obligated with capital punishment," he says. "Mutav emes misis atzmi v'le'ever al das chaverai. I would rather die an innocent death than transgress the words of my colleagues." When the Chachomim heard this, they said, "Leitoam klum, achevi lomai menotel yodav." And he wouldn't eat that whole day until they gave him water to wash his hands with. When the Chachomim heard this, they said, "Ma bezikhnusei kach b'yaldusei alachas kama v'kama." If this was Rabbi Kiva in his old age, so how much more so when he was young and strong? And if this was Rabbi Kiva in the dungeon, then outside of the dungeon, how much more so? Now, we must take this in the proper perspective. This was the Rabbi Kiva who hated Talmidei Chachomim. This was the Rabbi Kiva who said that when I was an Amoritz, I wanted to kill a Talmud Chacham. He understood what Torah was, how great it was, and he understood how great it makes people. And therefore he was willing to give his life for the words of his colleagues. And that's what he also says in this Mishnah. Chavivin Yisrael shenosan lem klichemdo. How dear and beloved are Yisrael to Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to them klichemdo, his most precious jewel. As it states, ki lekach tov nosati lachem, teirosi al tazovu. I am giving you something which is good. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's good, this means it's totally good. And then finally, a third principle. Third principle we can learn from him. We can learn many, as I mentioned, but these are three that we are speaking about now. Is that he was not a person to give up. He never gave up. He had a wonderful life, but also had a very difficult life. As we mentioned, he started to learn Torah when he was 40. And that's when he started to learn Aleph Beis. Most people would say that when you're 40, it's too late to start anything. This is when he started. He learned under the most dire circumstances, because they were tremendously impoverished. Mora tells us that they used to have to sleep on straw, and they had very little to eat. They were driven out of their father-in-law's house. But that's not the end of the story. After a life's work, he went away for 24 years to study Torah. Now, he must have been quite old later on, because he had, the Gemara tells us, 24,000 disciples. And he didn't go away right away. He was only 40 when he started to learn. So we're talking about a man already, could be well into his 70s or older. The Gemara tells us, Omru, Shnaim Eser Elef Zugim Talmidim Hoyolei L'Rebbe Kiva. Morin Yevamas Daf Samach Beis Amad Beis. Rebbe Kiva had 24,000 disciples. Begivas An Antipers. Vekulan Meso Beperek Echot. And they all died during one period of time. Because they did not give each other the appropriate honor that was deserved. And the world became desolate from Torah until Rebbe Kiva traveled to the south of Eretz Yisrael, and there he came and he took five Talmidim, five disciples, and he taught them Torah. This was Rameya, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lozi ben Shamua. Behem heim hamidu Torah esosho. And these five brought Torah back at that time to the world. Tana kula meso bepesek baratzeres. His 24,000 students died between Pesach and Shavuos. This is the Sfiras HaOmer, that we, the reason why we have our mourning. Now, seems like a simple story. Here's a man that for 40 years he lived one type of life. After starting over from nothing, he totally changed his life. And this could have been another 40 years. And he became the great Rebbe Kiva. And his life's work now was 24,000 great students. He saw all of this, he saw his whole world disappear before his eyes in a span of Mipesach Varatzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos. And he was an old man. This was a catastrophe. A catastrophe 1 millionth the size of this is sufficient to break a young man, multiplied by a million times. And we're talking of a man who was maybe in his 70s or 80s or maybe older, and he saw his world disappear. So what should he have done? He should have said, far followed. This is it. And retired. Finished. There's no doubt he was broken from it. The proof he was broken from it is because we are still supposed to be broken from it. Thousands of years later. The sages said that this was such a churban. This was a churban equal to the churbanes of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore we have to mourn for it.
So you can imagine a Bekiva at that time. He didn't do that. What did he do? The Gemara says he got up and he said a shir. And what was the shir? He said a shir on Kehelis. Kehelis, Yud Aleph. He said Shlema Melech taught, King Solomon taught, Baboker Yud Aleph Posuk Vav, Baboker Zra Es Zarecho. In the morning you shall sow your seeds. Vilo Erev Al Tanach Yodecho. But in the evening you shall not rest. Continue to sow your seeds. Because you'll never know how your seeds will come out. Hazer ozer, this one or that one, vimshneim ke'echot tovi, or if both of them. And he asked, what is Shlema Melech, King Solomon, teaching? He is teaching us that in the morning, in your youth, you should build. You should sow your seeds. But in the evening, in your old age also, you must carry on sowing your seeds. You must carry on building and never stop. Because no matter what your achievements were in your youth, you do not know what will become of them. And therefore, the Gemara brings Rabbi Kiva Imar. If you've studied Torah in your youth, you must carry on and study Torah in your old age. Do not say that I have learned already a lot and now I'm going to take it easy. If you brought up many disciples and you built many yeshivas in your youth, do not say in your old age it's time to rest and retire. But you must build further in your old age. As Shlema Melech said, Beboker Zra Es Zarecho. Rashi brings on this posuk in Kehelis, he brings firstly this from Rabbi Kiva. He brings further, the Gemara also brings, if you have children in your youth, do not stop from having children in your old age. If you gave tzedakah, if you gave massive of money in your youth, carry on in your old age. Don't say that you lived up a life and now it's time for others to do. And he brings the story of Rabbi Kiva, that he had 24,000 disciples and they all died. And later on he carried on and he had another five. And those five brought Torah back to the world. It was the fruits of his old age, not of his young age. And then Rashi brings from Aftzin. Aftzin is a Bayaz. This was Bayaz in the story of Ruth. Ruth that we're going to read in a few days. Shleishim bonei sholach chutza. Ushleishim bonei hevi lavonav. He had 60 children, Aftzin. He had 60 children, 30 daughters. He married off to others, and 30 daughters he brought in for his own sons. Bekula meso b'chayov. They all died while he was during his lifetime. Ubezik nusai, in his old age, he married Rus, and he had one child, and that child was Ovad. Ovad was the father of Yishai. And Yishai was the father of David. And from there came Malchus Yisrael, kingship of Yisrael. So this was a third principle that Rabbi Kiva understood. Like we spoke about not long ago, I believe maybe it was last week, life is not to prevent one from falling. That's like telling a baby, a child, or a parent, or a doctor tells a parent, don't let your child fall. There's no such thing. Life is always falling. A child will never be able to sit unless he falls. And he'll never be able to stand unless he falls. And will never be able to walk unless he falls. The secret of life is not to prevent one from falling. The secret of life is when one falls, you must not stay on the ground, but get up. And that's what Shlema HaMelech said, Ki tzaddik yipol sheva bekom. The righteous fall 7 times. 7 means ribui. The righteous fall many times. Shlema HaMelech didn't say the righteous don't fall. The righteous fall many times. And the wicked also fall many times. But the righteous will fall many, many times, but they always get up. The wicked fall once, and they remain on the ground. This was a third great principle that Rabbi Akiva understood, and he taught us. You learned in your youth, carry on in your old age. You taught disciples in your youth, teach them in your old age. So therefore, the Bikima got up and he went to the south and he taught 5 great disciples that brought Torah back to the world. One of them was Reb Shimon, that's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was his great successor, who later was to become the author of the Zohar HaKodesh, which is our greatest source in all of the Nistar, the mysteries, the secrets of the Torah. So, 3 principles we have here from Rabbi Akiva. Firstly, to know how great a person himself is and what his endless potential. He alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shared his image with him. Secondly, to know how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is, that there is endless gems and wisdom in every stroke of the pen which the Torah is written by, and all of the words of the sages, and the greatness of those who studied the Torah and who have acquired the Torah. And this Rabbi Akiva understood. And thirdly, that a person must not be afraid of falling, but he must never give up. No matter how many times he falls, he must get up again, like we see from Rabbi Akiva in his very old age. Started life a third time. One time he started it after he was 40. The second time was after he was 40. The third time again he started and again brought Torah to the world. These are great principles that we can learn much from in life in general, and in particular when it comes to the kinyan, the acquisition of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.